B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. Norris and I are out here live at the Esports Business Summit, day number three, the third and final day of the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada at the MGM Grand Convention Center. This place has been real good to us over the past couple of days.
They really have. Now, they rolled out the gold carpet.
They did. And I do have to say how impressed I am at how everyone has handled esports is a topic out here over the past couple of days. It has been taken very seriously. It has been, there's been no more questions about, you know, is esports a thing?
Nope.
It's just been,
nope.
Hey,
how
great,
do we make money?
Yeah, how do we move forward with it has been the topic of conversation. I've been very impressed by that.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, every conversation has been brought with a level of nuance that I think we haven't necessarily seen in these types of big events, right? Because usually when we're talking about big marketing events and upfronts and stuff like that, that have sort of a esports tinge or a sports entertainment tinge, esports, I don't want to say, it's no longer relegated to like a dark corner. That is not the case.
Right.
But, you know, in other places, it's still sort of like a side event or a side show, and it's not necessarily the main event. By it being the esports business summit, you know, the stuff we talk about is brought to the forefront, and it feels so, by the way, it feels so nice to talk to people and hear issues that we've brought up on the show.
Yeah.
Whether it be 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago, mm-hmm. or even in some cases 2 years ago.
Yeah. No.
And people are on the same page. You hear the talking points. You know, it feels very good to know that, you know, the stuff we cover, people resonate with.
Well, it's hugely validating. It's validating to hear the things that we thought were important, whether it be a week, you know, a month or a year ago, the things that we thought were important to the esports industry. It's hugely validating to now see panels on those exact points of conversation.
It is pretty weird, though. You know, you see like, oh, the esports bubble panel, and it's just like,
that's a conversation we had a year ago.
Talking about that for a while now.
I know, exactly. But yeah, so much like we've done the past couple days, guys, the podcast today is going to be, you know, a collection of some of the best interviews and discussions that we have out here on day three. We do have some awesome, awesome interviews scheduled.
We really do.
Today, so you're not going to want to miss that. So make sure you stick around, and yeah, we got more coming from the Esports Business Summit. Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP. We are live at the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada, day number three. Joining us now, he's a friend of the show. He's been with us before. We're so happy to have him back. Zach Weigel of Gamers Outreach. Zach, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Doing, you know, pretty awesome.
Day right number on. Three, and we're, you know, getting ready to wrap up here. So,
sure.
So Zach, for those who don't remember, tell us about Gamers Outreach.
Sure. So I help run this organization called Gamers Outreach. We're a nonprofit that provides entertainment to kids in hospitals through video games. We're really focused on improving a patient's quality of life while they're going through treatment in a hospital.
Yeah.
And we do that by focusing on providing kids with access to entertainment and activities when they maybe can't do things even outside of their rooms and in hospitals.
Yeah, and so if you guys haven't seen it, there's a really cool sort of hospital cart kind of deal that houses consoles. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure.
Those are super cool.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad. Thanks for saying that. We have two primary initiatives that we work on. The first is called Project Go Cart. That's what you're referring to. And we essentially build these portable video game kiosks. So it's like a cart that has an Xbox or a PlayStation, a monitor. There's a bunch of video games installed. And they're tools that help make video game content readily available in hospitals. So nurses will wheel these devices room to room. They use them to like give kids access to activities. So let's say you've had like a really big surgery, you're stuck in your room for a long period of time, you like can't do anything. Basically, this is a way for healthcare staff to like easily move video games room to room, give kids access to activities so that they can do something.
Yeah, and that's so cool. It is the size of like one of those EKG monitors, the mobile ones where it take your temperature and stuff.
Yeah, and actually, like, our very initial designs years ago, we were actually just repurposing existing medical products to kind of accommodate our intent of wanting to play video games. And then we got to a point where we were building one for, like, a single hospital, which led to building carts for, like, more hospitals were coming forward to us saying, hey, can you build us one? So now we construct them on our own. But we took a lot of those same design elements and translated them into what we do now.
So, I mean, the gaming community, for as much of a bad rap as it gets sometimes, is actually one of the most generous communities anywhere, I feel like. Can you speak to the gaming community's reaction to Gamers Outreach?
Yeah. So, I mean, our whole organization pretty much exists because of organic support that's come from the gaming industry. I mean, the last few years, you know, Gamers Outreach has crossed into, like, seven-figure fundraising territory. And we, like, as an example, our gaming carts right now are deployed in around 200 hospitals, primarily in the U.S., and we estimate that one initiative has capacity to be supporting somewhere around 1.2 million kids per year.
Wow.
So that's just, like, an average. Like, if 4 to 6 kids per day are playing on a single gaming cart, right, like, a cart might go into a playroom, maybe 20 kids a day are using it. Other times it might go into, like, you know, it might go to patients who are in isolation, so, like, kids are taking turns throughout the day. Anyway, 4 to 6 seems to be, like, this average feedback number we get. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, that's a ton of kids.
So, yeah, the gaming industry, and that's an annual thing, too. So, like, if we build a go-kart and we deliver it to a hospital, hopefully it lives there for a number of years, you know, and then we try to take care of it and, provide maintenance support as time goes on. And gamers, not only have they helped to fundraise, you know, to allow us to build those things, they've also been coming out to the hospital to play video games with kids. So we have another initiative I mentioned we had, too. It's called Player 2, and we invite gamers into the hospital to volunteer their time. They basically play games with kids. They help the hospital solve minor tech support issues.
Oh, wow.
So it's been, the way I think of it is, like, you know, there's opportunity for us as gamers to basically apply our knowledge as video game enthusiasts directly in the hospital environment in a way that supports, like, the IT staff in a hospital. Wow. Like, normally, you have a lot of people that are very concerned with, like, oh, we got to, like, monitor certain data. We have to monitor data in the hospital, worry about, like, patient information and such, and obviously priority number one.
Right. It's things that, you know, IT and the hospital staff, they need to be focusing on other things.
Right, practically. Like, we even make that point. You know, I think objective number one, if you go to the hospital, is to get out of the hospital. Like, that's the whole point.
Yeah, typically speaking.
Yeah, but because of that, there's all this emphasis on research and treatment, which is important. Sometimes quality of life takes a backseat because of that, and that's where we come in. We're trying to help make the hospital more fun, and, you know, if you're a nurse, you might be responsible for, like, 20 or 30 patient rooms on a given day. You can only spend so much time with each of those patients. So the idea of, like, unplugging an Xbox from a playroom and bringing it to a kid's room and, like, dealing with all those cables, it can get really time consuming when you have other patients to worry about. So that's why we build the go-karts as well.
Right. And so, talking about that Player 2 initiative that you were describing, is this something that, you know, anybody in any given town can participate in, or do you guys work through streamers, or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, sort of. So Player 2 is an initiative that there is kind of a bottleneck to it, in that, like, a hospital maybe can only oversee so many player volunteer or Player 2 volunteers at a given time.
Right.
So, like, if 20 people, for example, volunteer for a single hospital, but maybe we only need, like, 3 or 4, you know, there might not be opportunity for everybody to get involved in that regard. However, and also it's a significant commitment too. Player 2 is, of our volunteer opportunities that are available, Player 2 requires, like, background checks, vaccinations, volunteer training. You have to commit, like, 6 months. You have to go to the hospital, like, once a week for a few hours at a time.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of people don't realize this, but, like, if you're volunteering at the hospital, especially if you're playing games with kids, you're kind of, like, starting to create expectations in the minds of those kids.
That's
so
right.
If all of a sudden you, like, show up a couple times and then you bail, kids are like, oh, where'd my gaming buddy go?
Where'd my,
like,
friend go?
Well, he's gone. Well, why? Does he not like me?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's fine. He's just is busy. But, you know, hospital, like, maybe just ghosted, right? Who knows?
Yeah, I'm so happy you guys take that extra step, because as somebody that used to run an after-school program, when we would go out and reach out to volunteers, that was one of the number one things that we would have issues with is sort of, we called it mentor retention, where people would show up for 2, 3, 4 weeks and then disappear into the ether. So I'm very happy that you guys are taking that extra step, because it's incredibly important, especially for sick kids.
Yeah, we think of ourselves, like, as an agency in that regard. So we connect hospitals. Like, we'll reach out to the gaming community and say, hey, we're looking for Player 2 volunteers specifically specifically in this area, we'll get people to apply, and then we go through those applications and say, okay, like, this person's actually even a med student. Like, they need to put in hours relative to their degree, so we know that they're, like, extra incentivized to, like, you know, to stay true to the commitment. We have other gamers, of course, that, like, are med students, right? They're just like, hey, I think this is really cool, and at that, it's just kind of like a judgment call in terms of, like, how we assess them. So, yeah, lots of opportunities for people to get involved.
So earlier on in the week, Ghost Gaming and Reciprocity held a charity exhibition match over at the Esports Arena at the Luxor. And I just wanted to see if I could ask you about, you know, esports teams getting involved with gamers outreach and what that's been like.
Yeah, you know, when I think about esports and our work, I think there are really three things that come to mind. The first is, you know, practically one of the reasons we're here is that I think gamers outreach sort of identifies as an organization with roots in the esports community. I mean, we really started because I was hosting video game tournaments in my high school, and one of them got shot down by a cop who thought games were corrupting the minds of America's youth.
Oh, yeah. No.
I think I told you guys the story last time. It's a long tale.
Yeah.
People can look it up online if they're interested. But really, like, our annual fundraiser, Gamers for Giving, is a LAN party, and we invite out content creators, esports, you know, personalities to come and help fundraise.
Yeah.
Like the Jerry Lewis telethon, but for esports.
Of course, yeah.
So that's kind of part one, and just in terms of, like, how we identify as a gaming brand. Part two, of course, that you referenced, we have esports organizations that are sometimes reaching out. They're raising money. They want to support their local hospitals, and that's awesome. Like, I actually think, to me, it seems really obvious. Like, if you're an esports team, getting involved with a charitable cause, obviously, first and foremost, priority one is to make an impact. Priority two, of course, is that it's a way, I think, for you to express your brand values and demonstrate that, like, you really believe what it is that you say that you do.
Right.
Like, really, I think our actions determine our identities, right? Like, we can say, oh, as gamers, yeah, like, yeah, you can play video games and be fit. You can, like, play video games and, like, not live in your parents' basement. But, like, if you are playing video games and you're not going to the gym, like, you know, I'm not saying people have to go to the gym. Just as an example, right? Yeah. Like, you talk about, like,
as we say, game-life balance.
Yeah, right, exactly. And for the record, like, games already started in my parents' basement. So, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just, my point is that, you know, you have to sort of live an example in order to have the credibility to talk about it. So
true.
I think to me, community involvement is an opportunity for brands to, like, express those values. And I think the third thing I'll say real quick is that, less intuitively, we're finding that esports is one of the really few conduits for kids in the hospitals to be competitive. We're working with kids on a daily basis that can't participate in traditional sports.
Yeah.
They're missing out on some of the values and basic lessons you learn from playing normal sports,
yeah,
right?
Being, like, on a team and working together, communication.
Perseverance, teamwork, you know, sense of community. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, why should those kids in the hospital miss out on the same lessons? I was like, no, but I can teach a kid, if he's playing Fortnite, hey, Johnny, like, when you lose your game, don't get upset.
Yeah.
Say good game to the other players and move on to the next game, right? You can teach sportsmanship through video games, right? So I think even as parents, like, I'm not a parent yet, but one day, you know, I think our generation was one of the first to kind of grow up, like, with the internet, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's right.
Our parents never really taught us to, like, it's like, oh, go to school and have good manners, but there was no real discussion, at least for me, around being, like, an internet citizen.
No, definitely
not. I think that's something, actually, it's occurred to me recently. You know, one of the things I'll probably end up teaching my kids is, like, hey, when you go online, the same way you act in person is how you need to act online.
Well, right. How many people had to learn, like, the rules of social interaction from, like, you know, MMO guilds and communities?
Totally.
Like, you learned how to not be a jerk playing MMOs.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, it's one of our dev team members, we have an advisory board called the dev team, and she she's put a ton of hours into EVE Online. And we're talking about how, like, that
I love EVE Online.
It's just like,
that's
political.
Like the craziest community.
It's so wild. Like, the battles to come out of that.
We always joke that EVE Online is our favorite game we'll never play.
Yeah.
Because, like, reading and hearing the stories about EVE Online is the best part of
EVE Online.
Super
compelling.
Yeah.
But to get into it, it seems like there's quite a learning curve.
Yes.
It's a brick.
You also need, like, you know, to be an accountant.
Yeah, you need a major in math, I believe.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that, too. It's like Excel spreadsheets.
It's spreadsheets in space.
Under a guise of spaceships.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. So we've been asking everybody who we've been talking to, you know, the esports business, someone has obviously come a long way in a year. What do you kind of envision for the next year in the world of esports?
Yeah, that's a big question. You know, one thing that it's tough for me, I used to be very involved in the esports community directly, like managing players, as well as she's manager for Pure Times, a pro Halo player, worked with Red Bull to kind of get the Red Bull esports program off the ground.
Yeah.
And the Gamers Arts just kind of, like, took over. I think there's going to be a lot more formality around the way players, like, sort of earn their living through esports, like mm-hmm. rather than just being sort of like, hey, you won prize money, great. Like
right.
obviously you're kind of seeing this, like, I think basically what I'm trying to say is
more revenue opportunities yeah, for players.
Yeah. Well, the example that's coming to mind, and I think 100 Thieves does like mm-hmm. a really great job of saying like, hey, yeah, we win or try to win, you know, we're competing in these events, but we also have a merch line. We have a YouTube channel. We're trying right. to encourage our players to create
the
content.
The lifestyle brand.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, really like there's opportunity, I think, for players themselves to become these individuals where they're like, yeah, I've got my one pool over here where I'm winning prize money. That's great. That's really what it used to be, right? Like
yeah.
it used to be like you went to a tournament, that was it.
Yeah.
And then I remember Halo players back in the day, we would talk about like, oh man, maybe we should stream these practice sessions. No. People are going to steal our strategies. Like, and it's like, no man. I mean, I literally whipped out. I remember I was in a basement LAN before one of the MLG events with Walsh and his team. I whipped out my laptop, like powered up Justin TV. This mm-hmm. was like pre-Twitch.
Yeah. In the olden days,
I ended up getting 200,000 views in a 12-hour broadcast.
Just showing that off.
You literally, dude, you should have seen this stream. It was so basic. It was just my camera on my laptop. You could see like the top. I had put this thing on the laptop on a chair so people could see like the players competing. There was no gameplay. It was just like,
yeah.
oh yeah, these guys are in a
just
room.
People competing.
But people in the MLG community were excited because they're like everyone's hyped for the next MLG event.
Yeah,
they
we want to see what that looks like.
What's happening? You know,
yeah.
Like let's talk about what's going to happen in the event. And people were just in the chat like, oh my god, what's the score? What's the score? And I was like trying like you could see the top of my hair because I was like trying to type to the chat, but I was also trying to like
yeah.
let them see the room.
Right,
dude. We had a ton of viewership.
And that's awesome.
Anyway, so I think, yeah, just the state of the world, right? Like, I remember some of the players afterwards being like, Zach, why are you streaming, dude? Like, what are you doing? And actually, I was, like, getting self-conscious about it. Like, you're right. Am I just, like, looking for seeking attention here? And I'm like, no, guys, I think this is cool.
This is
like,
a thing. This
people,
is going to work.
People are excited. And I kick myself because I'm like, oh, my God. Had I, like, kept up with my account,
really,
we would have been some of the first streamers, you know, on
yeah.
like, the Twitch platform. So, anyway. Yeah.
So, obviously, we're big fans of Gamers Outreach and everything that you guys do. We can't announce anything yet, but if you're interested in Gamers Outreach and Checkpoint, we might recommend just keeping an eye on things in the future, maybe in 2020.
Just
can't
a thing.
Say much,
just
but
a thing.
You know,
just a thing.
Well, there are discussions happening.
Yeah.
We want to thank you for so much for your time. Zach Weigel of Gamers Outreach has been our guest here today on Checkpoint XP. Zach, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, of course, guys. Thanks to you.
We'll have more coming up next from the Esports Business Summit.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're out here at the Esports Business Summit, day number 3, and we are now joined by Matt Archambault. He is the head of Esports Partnerships North America for Riot Games. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here.
So, League of Legends has secured itself among the kings of North American esports, and I just gotta know, what do you attribute the game's success in North America to?
So, I think a lot of this really just goes back to, and obviously, I'm not a game developer, right? That's not my role, but the team that built the game, built the dynamics of what the MOBA is and how League has been going on, I think that's derived how and why it's been so successful. So when we talk about it from a competitive standpoint from the esports side, we really look at this as we want it to be a multi-generational sport. And we truly believe in that, right? League is hitting its 10th year anniversary in just about 3.5 weeks, right? Which is massive.
That is incredible to think about.
And at the level that it has been, we've had 100 million people playing this game globally every single month. Obviously, not from day one, but
yes.
as we've ramped ourselves up.
Right.
So when you think about it and we think about the MOBA genre, like that's what's truly massive. I think the other piece, too, is the stickiness that comes from the game. And like, when's League of Legends 2 coming out? Well, it came out 2 weeks after we launched the game, right?
Correct.
So we patch the game all the time. That keeps people coming back. It keeps the competitive ingenuity there. it takes so much time to master this game. So much time. And that's
tell
the
us about it.
Yeah, we know. We're bad.
And so am I. Yeah. I am terrible at pretty much every position that I have ever tried to play, which is why I am now trying to be a jungler, which is also a terrible idea. But hey, that's what I'm here to do.
Well, great.
To
now only the whole team depends on you.
There you go. Exactly.
So one of the hurdles that esports has struggled to clear for years, and in many cases still does, is that video games, by their nature, do tend, or at least did tend, to have a lifespan. And I'm wondering, how do you keep a game relevant or an esport relevant for, you know, 10 to 40 years instead of, say, rather 1 to 4 years?
So I think the way that we've really looked at this, and if I go back to sort of the beginning of the time, right, when we were at our first DreamHack, and we're looking at, this is our 9th year of having our Worlds event, right? When we put it together, we didn't know that this was going to be a thing, right? Like, it was for us, you don't build a title and call it an esport. The community is what actually drives the esport, and it's the competitive nature of that. And once we actually streamed this and we saw what was happening, that's what got everyone get really excited, right? And the community is large enough that we have 13 regional leagues, right? Like, that's what's amazing about this, is that we've actually built 13 massive regional leagues, 130 plus teams around the world, all with 10 plus players, like, as you go through it. So for us, as we build into the ecosystem, the way that we look at this, and specifically with the LCS, I want to identify and I want to work with those brands and those teams, right? So when I have brands like 100 Thieves, when I have Cloud9, when I have Team Liquid, we have some new teams coming in from Immortals, we have new teams coming in from Dignitas, and obviously with what Clutch is doing, is they just qualified for Worlds too. So when we look at the brand identity that they have, we want to be able to level that up on top of what we're doing. So this is really, for us, it's supposed to be a play towards the future. It's not a short-term play. We're in this together, rising tides, that whole wonderful analogy. So our vision is that, where are we going to be in 2025? Where are we going to be in 2030? Like, that's the situations that we have with teams. That's the background. Obviously, we're also got our eyes towards 21 when Worlds comes to North America.
Yes, that's right.
Stuff there. So.
So speaking of, you know, the rising tide, you know, you guys have been in the esports scene for as long as the esports scene has been a thing. You know, what have been some of the biggest, you know, changes over the 10 years since League of Legends has really taken a foothold in North America?
So speaking, obviously, there's more titles, there's more publishers that are doing yes. that, right? And which I think is awesome. And that's something that, as you fuel the ecosystem, you see other non-endemic brands come into play. You see endemic brands doing more. You see teams, you see team partners, streamers, all the rest of that taking off, right? In a way, with what Tyler/Ninja was able to do, he was on Good Morning America, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty awesome. You have people that have no idea what this thing is, and they're like, oh, this is amazing. This is super exciting. So I think as you just look at the overall ecosystem, as you look at the age demographic that we really represent, you know, 18 to 34-year-olds, and even beyond that, the 12 to 17-year-olds, gaming is what they do. This is not a foreign thing to them. This is just, that's part of your DNA, right? Like, as you continue to grow and evolve, this is what you do. So as you move forward, you want to be able to find, like, I can do this for a living. Like, this is pretty awesome. It's not people in a basement that need to, like, you know, be tucked away somewhere.
Yeah.
We're fueling, we have our Scholastic program, we're fueling the high school scene. You can get a Letterman's jacket in League of Legends.
You can.
Right? Like, that's
you
pretty
sure
amazing.
Can.
And then you get into collegiate side, then you get into Scouting Grounds, and you get into LCS. So I think as we do that, we see other publishers with a similar path to pro. You see other things. Obviously, the Fortnite World Cup was awesome, right? Like, there's so much that's happening there with the streaming platforms, too. The accessibility of what we're seeing is truly amazing. And that also comes to the fan experience and the viewer experience, both on site with activation, and then also just as you're sitting with your friends and your family at home and you're watching it together. So,
you know, speaking of which, the LCS Summer Split Finals were held in our hometown of Detroit,
right.
Michigan, which we cannot thank you enough for, by the way. The Midwest has been criminally underserved in esports, like, traditionally. So that was great. Can you just tell us a little bit of, you know, how that all came to be with Rocket Mortgage and what setting up, like, the fan experiences like that was how that all came about?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, as we continue to go, and you touched on it, right? Like, within LCS and within Riot, we've always looked to find different areas to touch in those passion points. And we know where our communities are, but we want to be able to bring an event to them. We want to be able to come in there and let people not have to fly or drive all the way across the country, but actually show up. We know the Midwest was maybe underserved a little bit. We went to St. Louis for the spring. We went to Detroit for summer. we are now serving the Midwest. Yeah, but it, I think sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it was amazing because we definitely had that moment when St. Louis was announced where we're like, all right, well, that's the Midwest, but not where we want it in the Midwest. And then like clockwork, oh, there it is. All right.
It was great.
So I moved to LA from Chicago, so I've also got a little bit of a connection back to the Midwest. And I'm like, hey, we should come to Chicago too, you know?
Yes.
But, so as we look to do this, what we really try to identify, and this also goes to our events team and everyone else, and like Devin Murphy who's on mm-hmm. my team, like it's let's go, let's explore, let's find the venues, let's find the setup, and then beyond that, let's find a partner who actually wants to invest into the community and has a stake there. Obviously, we know Rocket Mortgage, Quicken Loans, Bedrock, they're pretty large in Detroit.
Yes. Right?
They are connected to the community, want to fuel that community. They did it with a PGA Tour event earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. There's other events that are coming up very, very soon. Mm-hmm. So as we look and we explore that, the idea is we found a partner, check. We found a venue, double check. And now we found a place where the community is like, I really want to be there. And I talked to people that, there are people that came in from Puerto Rico. There were a ton of people that came down from Canada. There were people that drove from all over the place. And obviously a lot in Michigan that were driving everywhere. So when you talk and you see that fan experience, that fuels my heart. Like, that's the awesome piece of this.
And speaking of that, you know, as you were saying, over 10,000 people from all across the country, all across the world, actually, flooded into Detroit for the Summer Split Finals. We see that at every Split Finals that you guys put on. You know, what does that say when you guys are able to take the show on the road and see that sort of mass entrance or mass exodus from other parts of the world into your event? What does that feel like, and what does that say for League of Legends as an esport to you?
I think, well, it feels good, right? I mean, we obviously, you don't work at Riot if you don't look at League of Legends, right? I mean, this is what we do. This is who we are. And we also believe in the competitive nature of the ecosystem with the teams that we do have. So when we show up and people come in force, that further validates what we're doing. It makes us feel good. But beyond that, it's not really us going in and validating the community. We need to be able to deliver something to those fans, right? That is what predicates the entire game. And if we don't have fans, if we don't have players, what are we doing? So when we show up somewhere, we want to be able to give back, which is why we started doing more of those fan experiences, which is why we did that on Saturday. I think we had 4,500 people there on Saturday for 2.5 hours, mm-hmm. right? That's awesome. We did the dive live. We did this or that live, right? We were pushing all of that out. We had a ton of teams activating out there as well. Obviously, Rocket Mortgage was there in a big fashion. There was an awesome dome, and we had provided some Rift stuff for them to be able to show. So I think really when we go into these locations, when the fans come out, that's awesome. But we also try to validate that based on some stuff earlier. But again, for us, it's not just we go and they show up. It's I want to make sure you have a good experience. And if you show up and you're there and you're like, yeah, that was fun, like that doesn't really serve the purpose. We want you to leave going, thank you.
That was
amazing.
Thank you
so much for coming here, and thank you for doing this. And we got that from Little Caesars Arena for our fan day. They told us, like, this is the best fan day activation we've seen in like Chevy Park in a long time. We're like, awesome.
Yes.
Like, just
yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're currently sitting down with Matt Archambault of Riot Games. And I got to ask, you know, the LCS has some endemic powerhouse names, Cloud9, Team Solo Mid, Team Liquid. You know, they come to mind, but there's newcomers like 100 Thieves who have really made their mark. What does an organization need to do to kind of, you know, make itself known in a kind of a crowded esports field?
So it's great question. So we just yesterday, actually, I was on a panel with Dan from Cloud9 and Jackson from 100 Thieves. And we were talking specifically about brand building, right, within the teams and what does that mean and how do you go about it. And one of the things that we were looking at, and 100 Thieves in particular, you have Nadeshot, right? Mm-hmm. So Jackson was saying it's kind of an unfair advantage, maybe not, but in a way, when you come in, when you have a figurehead that's there, and we have that with some of our endemic teams, even some of our newer teams that come from traditional side of things, when you have those figureheads, you can look at them, right? That's the, for traditional sports, that's the Mark Cuban effect of, you know, like, right. Oh yeah, like this is the individual. And that helps shape that brand and that DNA, because what they need to identify for is, you can win, that's great, but what happens if you don't win? Like, you need to have a brand. You need to be able to be sustainable,
right,
and financially stable, quite frankly, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have that, you can build the character. You can build that dynamic of what you're looking for, and then that translates into everything they do, potentially other sports that they're involved in as well, or merch or other content pieces that they're doing. 100 Thieves doing a tremendous amount of work, right, when it gets into content creation and what they're playing with there. So there's a lot of excitement, I think, specifically with that brand. I'm really excited for what they're doing with their new house in Culver City. There's a ton of stuff going on. They won some awards last night at Tempest Awards. So it's going to be a good year for those guys.
And so speaking of brands, you know, there's this big thing about non-endemic brands and how much they're entering into the space. You know, how can you guys present yourselves as, you know, the most unique esport to get some of those brands to want to partner with you guys?
So I think when we look at that, and I mean, again, people talk about the endemic and non-endemic. I really try to look at this as more of a situation of, let's identify how you want to engage with the community and the audience, right? And so whether you're brand A or brand B, right, we have brands like Alienware, obviously endemic. We have brands like State Farm. We have brands like MasterCard. We have brands like Honda and Red Bull, right? So we have a ton of brands that are out there. It's really looking at them and saying, how are you investing? What is your vision for this community and for this landscape? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want to do? And so when we start talking to them, we try to find an asset or a creation that we have within LCS, within the league, and they say, this is what I want. And then we build from that nucleus as to all those various touch points that they have. Yeah. State Farm with the analyst desk, it's now the State Farm analyst desk, and that follows through onto Reddit,
right?
Like, it's the SFAD. That's awesome, right? When we launched Honda, everyone on Reddit was just saying TY Honda. Like, that's amazing. Like, mm-hmm. we did it. Like, great. So I think when we look at this, there's also that communication and those touch points of trying to say, this is still, it's a sport, right? Like, look at traditional sports. How do you invest in the NHL? How do you invest in the NBA? How do you invest in these other sports? Let's draw those comps. Let's take a look at this. And then let's build that accordingly,
exactly.
Right? And at the end of the day, you just get people into an event, and a live event. You get them to summer finals, they're going to walk out of there going, this is a thing. Like,
yeah.
This is not just something I need to check a box on. Like, I need to be involved in this, and how do I get involved in it? So there's a, you know, step process for us of validating, defining, and then working with them to see the passion. Because once you see the passion, you know they're going to get involved because they can't walk away from it.
Right.
So.
Matt Archambault, head of partnerships at Riot Games, has been our guest here today. Matt, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
And we'll have more coming up next from the Esports Business Summit.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP. We are out here at the Esports Business Summit, meeting all the most important people in the room. And speaking of important people, we have a guest joining us right now. We have Lisa Foyles.
Aww.
Yeah, she hosts the And a Bag of Chips podcast. Lisa, we need to start with that before we get into this, because what is the And a Bag of Chips podcast?
Oh, yeah. So I used to be on a little Nickelodeon show called All That. You may have heard of it.
Yeah.
Only
heard of.
Yeah, only a little.
Kids sketch comedy show, you know, like Saturday Night Live, and it was on for 10 years, started with, you know, Kenan and Kel. It's what launched their careers. And then whatever year it was, 2001 or something like that, they got a whole new cast and they did a nationwide search, and I became one of the new cast members of the reboot at that time, which is funny because now they've rebooted it again, so now there's like rebooted, is that, that's a weird
rebooted it
again. So now there's a whole new cast of kids, so it's got this weird like resurgence of fans, and everyone's like all about All That again, and nostalgia's like the, you know, coolest thing that everyone talks about.
Mm-hmm.
The 90s are back, man. That's
it's true.
It's true. So I started a podcast. It's very a specific time era. It's late 90s, early 2000s. So not like that.
Oh, so
that
like
sweet spot.
Only like the
childhood.
Best time ever.
Exactly. Like my child. Anything like too early 90s, I'm like, I was too small of a child. I don't remember. But yeah, it's called And a Bag of Chips because
all that.
And a bag of chips. Bag we, of got chips. We got it. Big brain.
Yeah. So, yeah, every week we just talk about, you know, a game or a TV show or something from that time period. This week it's it actually just debuted today, this new episode, and it's all about Full House.
Full House.
Yes. And 90s soda. I don't know if you're big into like Surge.
Yeah, lots of Surge. I literally heard 90s soda, Surge.
Everything we all think about.
So I bought a case of Surge when it came back, and they made fun of me relentlessly.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, because I still wouldn't have bought it. I did buy it back then. I tried it once and I passed out.
Yeah, it's just dissolving your insides. It's radioactive sludge.
I mean, that's how we lived in the 90s.
Exactly.
That's true.
What it was.
That's true.
All right, so we are going to be playing a little game here. I mean, your background with all that, I feel like it makes sense for us to have a little bit of fun and play a game here. So this is a game called Name That Price, where basically we went on Craigslist and found a bunch of interesting gaming-themed listings.
Ooh.
And your Price is Right style going to try to bid as close to the actual asking price without going over.
There better be a Sega Nomad in there, I hope.
Oh, there actually might be.
Oh my God, a Sega Nomad.
My only real job I've ever had in my life, like an actual like 9-to-5 like hourly job, was I worked at a GameStop for a little bit and accepted the trade-ins and you know, organized.
Did somebody actually bring in a Sega Nomad?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
Funny story. So working at GameStop. I'm sorry. I also worked for GameSpot. So it's like hard. Working at Let's start again. GameStop.
There you go. GameStop.
Words are hard, guys. Every time somebody would bring in like a classic game system or something that we all really wanted, we'd play it really cool, right? So we'd be like, well, actually, you know, I'm not sure what this archaic device is, but we don't accept it as trade-in here at GameStop, but on the side, I'll give you $20 for it. You know, that whole game.
Oh, I know that song and dance.
Yeah, so a friend of mine, like, I had two friends who worked there with me, and so he was doing that with the Sega Nomad. They brought the Nomad, and he's like, oh, I've never seen this before, but, you know, I'll give you, like, $15 for it. And then my other stupid friend, Drew, comes up behind him and goes, oh, is that a Nomad? Sega. Oh my gosh, a Sega Nomad. So then the guy's like, whoa, okay, now I'm not giving this to you for $15. Now I'm going to go sell it for $200.
He blew up the spot.
Whatever a Nomad is going for these
Ruined
days.
It.
Yeah.
So. All right. So here's the first item that we have up for bid today.
Hit me.
The listing is hoverboard swag. I have a good condition hoverboard, normal wear and tear, couple of scratches, and it comes with a charger. How much are they asking for hoverboard swag? Norris, we're going to start with you.
For the hoverboard swag. So swag says to me that there might be accessories. I am going to say they want $25.
Okay. Lisa, over to you. How much are they? How much do you bid for the hoverboard swag?
I'm going to say $35.
$35. And Chad, you have the final bid on this.
I'm trying not to look. Your phone's right
there.
You're, like, showing the camera. You're giving away.
He's also hunched over like a troll person over there. He's just,
that's because Joe's 8 feet tall.
I know. Can he have a seat or something? I feel so bad. Your spine
right there,
just curled over like a shepherd's hook.
All right. Okay.
There we go.
Hurry up.
Hoverboard swag. I think it's just like t-shirts and stuff. So, and t-shirts and an iPhone charger. So, without going over, you said 23.
Ooh.
So you think it's either $24 or $23 on the nose?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he wants $150.
Oh my gosh.
So Lisa, with $35, you are correct.
Well, am I right? Is it the t-shirt?
We've been practicing.
No, it's an actual hoverboard.
Okay.
All right, our next item up for bid.
Wait, if there's pictures involved, do we get to see the pictures or no?
No.
Okay, fine.
I typically do not pick
Take
the ones
his chair
with
away.
Pictures.
I don't want to sit anymore. You don't deserve a chair.
Up next, we have Steam Link for sale.
Oh, wow, the Steam Link.
That's right.
I have one.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, I am selling a Steam Link for streaming Steam-based games over any television or monitor. This is a great way to play any video games from your computer to any room in your house. It is very easy to set up and works really well. It comes in its original box and has all the power adapters that it originally came with. All you need is an internet connection and a gaming controller or keyboard.
It's not available anymore, is it? No.
It is no longer available.
No.
So, Lisa, you've got the first bid this time around.
I don't want to.
You have to.
Oh, well, it goes and we rotate around.
You don't have a choice.
I'm ready to rock, paper, scissors, for it. I mean, this guy seems pretty proud of it. Like, he's like, this is a big deal. It's going to allow you to do a lot of gaming. He wants... I don't even remember what I paid for mine brand new.
I paid $2 for mine when it was just about to go.
You can't give that kind of detail.
I'm not listening.
Listen to everybody.
I don't care.
I think that he wants a solid $20 for it.
All right.
Over to Chad.
I think I wasted about $25 on it. So I'm going to go with he wants his money back, $25.
Okay. And Norris, over to you.
$1.
$1.
Norris thinks everyone's overbid.
It's bold.
He wants for it $20 on the nose. Lisa, if this was actually The Price is Right, you would have just won $500.
Why is
I want a trailer.
Everyone better than us at this game.
Everyone's better than us at every game we play.
That's true.
All right. This is one of my favorites.
Okay.
Sims 4 Collection Installer for PC.
So not the installer.
Warnings. Mac not supported. You cannot use this with a pre-existing Sims 4 on Origin. You cannot add anything new to this. Example, if you buy Get Famous expansion, you can't use it with this. You cannot choose which packs to install. It's basically all or none. This version is offline only. No online gameplay available.
Also, it's bootleg.
So it's a little sketchy. Chad, you've got the first bid on the Sims 4 installer.
So it's the bootleg Sims game.
It's a bootleg installer for Sims 4?
Yep.
Okay, I'm just making sure I got my facts right. Alright, I'm going to go with a cool $5.
Ooh, five.
Alright, Norris, over to you.
15.
And Lisa, over to you.
I was going to say 10.
Okay.
So, we're right.
For the Sims 4 Collection Installer Pack, he wants $100.
Big money, what? No way.
So, Norris,
baby.
15, you are correct.
This guy is higher. Delusional.
I'm going higher on all my bids now.
That's not a real installer. That's malware.
That is definitely an FBI posting, I feel like.
Yep. I love you, Fire.
That's the feds.
All right.
Wow.
So, this next one. The listing is video games. There is no text to describe it. It is only a picture, which I will describe for you. The picture is a bunch of bottles of alcohol, including but not limited to Smirnoff, 1800, UV, Greyhound, and Seagram's.
Are they unopened bottles?
Some of them are. Some of them are definitely open.
Has this picture been taken in a frat house?
This picture has been taken in what looks like a crack house.
Okay.
So how much are they asking for the quote-unquote video games, Norris?
$1.
Wait, so it's the alcohol? I don't understand.
Well, the listing is for video games, but the picture is of somewhat unopened bottles of alcohol. So that's a great
There's
question.
There's no video games in the picture.
Not that
no.
I could see,
we
no.
We have no idea what they're actually selling.
Correct.
This sounds like human trafficking.
Yeah,
is what it sounds like.
Some kind of
this is a lure.
Scare.
This is a lure. But anyway, my bid still stands. $1.
$1. Okay.
How much would you pay for semi-opened bottles of alcohol?
$10.
Okay.
I feel like if you're gonna do a post, you at least want $10 for whatever you're selling.
That's fair.
Okay,
Chad.
One human life.
What is the
price of a soul?
Two kidneys.
The exchange rate right now on souls.
Let's say $100.
Okay,
$100.
So the pricing is $5 each, which totals out to $55.
Oh,
Lisa, you are correct on this one.
This is dumb. That is ridiculous. Wait, $5 each?
Yeah.
You can't do like a line item in Craigslist?
Well, that's what it was.
Each video game.
Yeah, each video game.
They don't even list what the games are. Like, this could be like Madden 02.
I'm convinced you're getting semi-open bottles of alcohol.
To be honest,
nope. Keg Tapper is the name of that
game.
Video
game is just like chugging the alcohol. Like, I'm a flip cup.
All right, up next, we've got Wing Commander and Civilization 2.
Ooh.
Hope you like what you see. Two rules. If you respond, include an email and phone number.
Okay.
Need to discourage the shady types that populate these parts. If you see the ad, it's still for sale. Don't ask because I won't respond yes, no, or maybe. Got the big box PC 5-star AAA games from back in the 90s and Electronic Boutique. All sealed and ready to fire up on your X486 PC or emulated on the new and fresh 21st century Century Machine.
That's cool. You found a post by Dwight Schrute.
Yep.
That's all I can think of.
So, Lisa, you've got the first bit on Wing Commander and Civilization 2.
Then those are legit good games.
They are.
Where what do you think it is? Before you go wait, over.
I have to go first again?
You do.
It's background to you, isn't it?
Oh, it's background.
Yeah. Nora said a dollar for the alcohol.
Yeah, for the alcohol.
I'm going to say $40. I don't know.
$40. All right.
That's
Chad.
Fair.
I'm going high. They've all been relatively high, so I'm going to go 60.
60?
Okay,
all right.
Still in the box.
And,
we talking about some. Now we talking still in the box, or we talking NRFB?
All sealed. He says
all sealed.
Now,
so we're talking in.
I don't know if that means resealed.
Right.
Or could be resealed.
Sealed.
It could be resealed. Mm. Okay, that's tough. All right, you know what? I'm gonna just give an even 100.
He wants $75.
Oh, Chad gets a point on the board. All right, I think let's do one more.
One more?
Let's do one more.
All right. Do you want a ridiculous one or a not ridiculous one?
Obviously ridiculous.
Okay.
Come on. Why would you even ask that question?
Listed in the video game section.
Okay. Is it more alcohol?
Brand new Oakland Duotech shed still in the box. The first
wait. It's a shed that's in a box.
Yeah. The first truly paintable and customizable plastic shed. Heavy duty, polypropylene. Resin construction with steel structural reinforcement for extra durability.
This is Hank Hill,
this
isn't
it? To do with video games.
No, not
this
at all.
A shed.
It's a shed.
Hank Hill made this listing, didn't he?
It's got built-in ventilation with long side windows and a full-length skylight. Tongue and groove panels for quick and easy assembly. Chad, how much do you bid?
Wait, how big is it? How big is the shed?
It does not say. From the picture, I would say it's like
could a human walk in, or is it like a dog?
You
house?
Could definitely walk in.
It's
it,
like
yes.
An outhouse.
No, it's definitely you could walk in it.
So okay,
I'm questioning the validity of
it'd be like a real section. Small garage.
Okay.
And this is Las Vegas Craigslist video games, by the way.
Oh, this is Las Vegas? Oh.
Yeah.
Sure is.
These people are probably here.
Yeah, they're probably like right outside trying
to
sell the shed.
For sale?
Yeah. I could point to the guy who put up the alcohol.
Yeah.
well, I'm not going first.
I'm going to do 500.
Ooh, 500.
500. Over to you, Norris.
1,000.
1,000, okay. And over to you, Lisa.
I'm going to say 1,200.
1,200. For the brand new Oakland Duotech shed, he wants $900. Chad.
Oh,
very nice. Well
Chad
done.
Thing. Chad a
good.
Thing.
I just need to analyze the game, and I got it.
Yeah, you're like a dark horse.
Yeah.
You break late, everyone knows this. Yeah.
So, Lisa, we want to thank you so much for playing some ridiculous games with us. Tell
that
everyone
really
where they
fun.
Can find your podcast.
Sorry, I'm drinking.
No worries. We all should be drinking.
Yeah, get on that post.
We get the post and we'll be all right.
$5 a bottle.
So you can find my podcast on all of the podcasting sites of Spotify and Apple and Google and, you know, anywhere. I'm online at Lisa Foyles on all of the social sites. You know what? We live in a day and age where, like, I hate plugging anything, because if people want to find it, they just will. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you want to find my podcast, you will in 2 seconds. You're just going to Google it. So anything I say, you're just...
Honestly, we Googled you. I'm not going to lie. I Googled you, and your face popped up immediately. So you'll find her.
Yeah.
It's easy.
You can find me.
She's not hard to find.
Yep. And a Bag of Chips podcast. New episode today, and it's a good one. It's a really good one.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So how about you guys out there? Were you able to name that price? Follow us on social media and let us know. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Guys, we'll be back with more from the Esports Business Summit.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP out here at the Esports Business Summit. Joining us now is Joshua Kell. He is the CEO of Horizon AVL. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I got to say, first of all, we've been booth neighbors
for
the duration of the event. You guys have been right next door to us with one of the coolest setups in the room.
Well, thank you.
I mean, we take a lot of pride in our setup, but we also had to be like, well, that's pretty good too, actually. So tell me a little bit about Horizon AVL.
Sure. So Horizon AVL is a 37-year-old AV integration firm. We've been designing stadiums, large group instruction rooms, theaters throughout the U.S. For our education clients, both higher education and K-12.
Yeah, and I really want to highlight that for a moment, because Horizon AVL, one of your primary things is video productions for esports arenas and events. So tell me a little bit about that, and then let's move into talking about the educational component.
Sure, sure. So about 2 years ago, I made a conscious effort. Being a video game player, I played Counter-Strike 1.3, 1.6, growing up sort of in that whole culture. It has been just a passion of mine just to take our 37 years of AV integration and then move it into the esports world. So what we have done is now we're building arenas, we're building LAN centers, spaces for teams to actually compete, to come play, student involvement, participation coming together.
I love it. So, talking about that educational component, one of the things that North America is still working on, it's not quite there yet, but Europe has actually gotten kind of ahead of the game on, is that whole infrastructure and backbone of esports production, not just, the teams themselves, but making everything you need for production. So talk to me about the educational aspect of this.
Sure. So, the biggest thing that we see is what the industry is looking for, right? It's beyond, we have hashtag that says beyond the controller, right? What is beyond the control? It's more than just playing video games,
right?
That content creation, the broadcast aspect of it. And so what we've done is we've actually developed a full four-year curriculum that wraps around not only the gameplay, but content creation, broadcast, film, marketing, advertising, also software development, coding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we meet national core standards, CTE standards across the country. And it is the first full four-year curriculum.
That is absolutely incredible. What's the response to that been like?
So far, actually, really, really positive. What we find in the education market and working in this for such a long time is schools, they dip their toe in, right? And
yes.
They never jump both feet in.
It almost always takes a student org or someone willing to kind of fall on the sword if it goes south before the school's ready to buy in.
Yeah, but the response, even from curriculum directors, principals, superintendents, has been really positive, because they see that we as a country, our number one export is really entertainment. Mm-hmm. And it's not just video games, that's movies, music, television, etc. And so they see that this industry is really looking for individuals to fill in that spot. And so our curriculum is wrapped more around the STEM aspect or the CTE aspect, the career and technical engineering aspect,
right,
of things. So
not just the consumer response. What has the professional response to this sort of program has been? How are people who go through the program faring?
Well, so far, this is our first year, so we're really excited to see, what this year looks like. We have a lot of case studies going on, but the industry is actually really excited. When you go on to, software developers' websites, whether that's, Activision, Blizzard, and Twitch, you just see a list of individuals they're,
yes,
looking for. And so, we've talked to a lot of those individuals from a professional sense, and they're saying, these are the skill sets we're looking for.
This is what we need.
This is what we need. Schools need to teach more on this. So it has been our mission when we design an arena or we design a LAN room or space, we're designing it around the curriculum simultaneously. So it is not just a gaming center. It is allowing for those skills to be developed over the course of their life in the institution, the education institution.
So the Esports Business Summit has come really far in a year,
yeah,
from what it was last year to what it is this year. And we've kind of been asking everybody, because we're curious, where do you see things going in the next year, not just for the summit, but for esports? Where do you think the next year holds?
Sure. So esports, from where we're seeing it, it's just growing exponentially.
Yes.
You know, we are working with 120 colleges right now, hundreds of high schools, and we just see this massive push. And I think over the next year, we're going to see a little bit more crystallizing of what direction people need to move in. And that's part of what we're trying to do as well with our partners at Intel and Predator Acer, the Acer line.
Right.
We're really working together to make sure that esports becomes more and more strengthened and understood, because when we walk into our education clients, they have no idea that 78 million people watched League of Legends last year live. They have no idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's education, and that education is only going to strengthen the esports industry even more. I would say in the next 3 years, you're probably going to see it just become more and more commonplace. Right? 16 states presently right now have sanctioned esports
right.
as an official varsity sport. That's only going to strengthen as this program continues to grow. And educators are educated on esports.
Joshua Kell, CEO of AVL Horizons, has been our guest here today. Joshua, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Guys, we're going to be back in just a moment from the Esports Business Summit. Norris and I are going to be wrapping things up. We'll see you in a minute.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We are out here at the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada, day three at the MGM Convention Center. And you know what, Norris? We are, it's wrapping up.
Yeah.
People are starting to tear down their booths at breakneck speed. Everyone's looking to get out of here, it seems like.
Yeah.
So we gotta give our final thoughts on it, too, and get ready to start tearing down our booth.
Yeah.
So, yep. I mean, scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel the Esports Business Summit was this year?
I'm going to say 8.5. You know, for me, it's just one of those types of things where, you know, for the most part, things really came to fruition, but there's a couple things I wish maybe that we could have did a little bit better. Some folks that I wish we really could have connected with, and it just didn't pan out. But other than that, I'm gonna say 8.5. Super excited about the announcement of Checkpoint XP on campus. Again, watch it flat out.
Be there.
You got no excuse. 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Thursdays. Make sure you watch. I just got the episode myself, and I took a look at it, and it's a ton of fun. The show is a ton of fun, so make sure you guys are tuned in for that.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, I'm going to give this event about what you did. You know, an 8.5 seems about right. Overall, I was very impressed. Like I've been saying kind of since the word go, the tenor of the conversation has changed so much in a year.
For sure.
There is no longer any question about is esports valid or is it worth it? It is just what's the road forward? Mm-hmm. What do we do? Which is of course a question that needs to get answered. As much as people say that, you know, we heard the comparison that esports is not in its infancy; it's in its teenage years, which is actually not a terrible comparison point. You know, there's still things that go wrong. There's still a lot of weirdness that needs to get figured out, but it's not really its infancy anymore.
No, it really is starting to kind of stretch its legs and figure out, you know, what it's going to be for the foreseeable future. Right?
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be really interesting moving forward, especially within the next year to sort of 3 years, to see, you know, where the advancement is going to come from, because we know that the foundation is there. We know that the tech is there. This is not a part of the conversation, right? The part of the conversation is how are we going to link this into the mainstream and continue to grow? And what we're seeing is that esports is growing at a rate that traditional sports simply is not. As a matter of fact, traditional sports are losing viewers, and esports are picking up a lot of those viewers that are falling off of the traditional sports bandwagon. So
no. No, they're losing viewers because the people falling off that bandwagon are falling into graves.
Well, there's that, but I still think that's disingenuous to say that there's no young people that watch sports. Of course there are.
There are just not enough, I feel like, to make up for the exiting population.
No, I mean, the rate of, you know, replenishing viewers, and let's just be frank here, is that, you know, baby boomers are largest living cohort of anyone, you know, right now. And the thing is that as they continue to phase out of, I don't know, life, they're not replenishing those viewers, especially in sports like baseball and hockey and stuff like that. I mean, the NFL seems to be doing all right.
NBA is doing pretty well, by all accounts, actually.
NBA is doing super well. But everybody else really needs to start figuring out what's going on. And I really do think in the next 5 years, traditional sports are going to say, what can we do to be more like esports?
Yeah, I feel like you're right. The conversation is really going to flip directions, where we've watched esports say, what can we do to emulate traditional sports? What do they do well? What can we borrow from? I think you're right. I think we're going to see a lot more traditional sports starting to look towards esports for the things that they do well, with things like fan interaction and things like that.
Exactly. And look at the stuff the NBA is doing with 2K League. You know, FIFA is at, you know, the E-World Cup. And, you know, a lot of traditional sports are looking for those sort of points of synchronization where they can start filtering into the esports conversation. F1 is doing a really great job of that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think that's the future we're headed towards. And, you know, the charge is being led by your League of Legends and your Overwatches and, you know, even your CSGOs and Call of Duties. I mean, when we first got here, Call of Duty was on everybody's lips.
Yeah.
Everybody's. Yeah. I mean, that was the big question, is what is Call of Duty doing? What is Call of Duty doing? I don't think I've ever heard people talk that way about an e-sport from a business perspective.
Sure.
It is incredibly interesting to see that kind of energy.
So that's pretty much going to be it for our esports business coverage this year. It's been a good year. We were so happy to be out here for all 3 days. We want to give a big thank you to a lot of people on this one.
All the people.
Yeah. Norris, I'm going to have you hand out a couple thank yous.
Well, number one, I definitely want to thank everybody out at UNLV for helping us out with the launch of Checkpoint XP on campus. Daniel Agbuya, Jacob Brothers, Leslie Fitzsimmons, Jennifer Ream, Ben Morse, all those guys out there helping us out with making that that thing come to fruition. Also, Kevin Kelly and Ethan Schneider helping us sort of on the back-end content creation side and production. Everybody out there has done such an amazing job of making this come together. So we thank you for that, and I look forward to working with you guys for the very foreseeable future.
Yep, and also, of course, big thank you goes out to our entire production team that makes all this happen. Heidi Raphael, Lori Burgess, Jennifer Williams and Sulik, Justin Chase, everyone who has been, you know, so integral in making all this happen out here. We want to extend just the biggest thank you to them, as well as our Detroit team back home, who have been just Johnny on the spot with getting interviews and coverage out to you guys as soon as we have it done, whether we have it ready to go to them or not. They're asking for it, so they've been amazing. Both Nate Bender and Robbie Landis back in Detroit. We want to extend the biggest thank you to them as well.
And let's not forget the crew that we have on site.
Yes. Of course, Chad Callahan, our producer on site. We got Mark over there, who's been manning the camera system all week for you. Huge thanks to them, and of course to the entire Beasley Las Vegas team for setting up both Steve and Mike. Everyone who's really come together to make this happen, we want to just send the biggest thank you to. And of course, thanks to you guys for watching Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, Checkpoint XP.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, brand management by Chad Callahan, and of course our co-hosts back in Detroit, Nate Bender and Robbie Landis, and my co-host here, Norris Howard.
Yeah.
I'm Joe Sloan. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.